Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, four men have been charged in connection with plotting to raid businesses in Donegal after being apprehended by Gardaí outside Donegal town on Sunday night. John Campbell has handed in his resignation to Donegal County Council. Two Donegal men face murder charges as they are expected to appear in court in Australia tomorrow. And Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has challenged the government to immediately address the waiting times for first appointments with the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. But first to news, as part of an ongoing investigation into the disappearance of 46-year-old Strabane woman Deirdre O'Flaherty almost a decade ago, Gardaí have commenced a land search and excavation in the Milford area. Gardaí say they have received specific information regarding the possible location of human remains. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The search is part of an ongoing investigation into the disappearance of Deirdre O'Flaherty of Ballymacgarry in Strabane. Miss O'Flaherty, who was 46, was reported missing on the 11th of January 2009 at Moville. Gardaí say that they are liaising closely with her family at this time and that a family liaison officer has been appointed. It's expected that the search may take between 3 and 5 days and will involve the Donegal Divisional Search Unit, the Garda Technical Bureau and external contractors. It's understood that the search is being conducted at a remote location in the Milford District. This development continues to form part of the missing person investigation, and Gardaí have stressed that there is no change regarding same. No further details are available at present. However, Gardaí say that they will be issuing updates on progress of the search when appropriate and when the search is completed.
John Campbell has resigned from Donegal County Council. Seamus Maguire from Donegal Town is set to be co-opted onto the council to replace Mr. Campbell. An independent, Mr. Campbell was first co-opted onto the council, replacing Deputy Thomas Pringle. He was then elected in his own right at the next local elections. Moving forward, he says he will be helping with a coordinated effort to bring more independents onto the council in this year's local elections. He believes a sea change is in the offing.
I think the electorate are going to look extremely hard at the candidates that are put in front of them this time, and we intend to give them an option or an alternative that we feel that people want. And as I said, like that, I feel that if you can elect a collaborative, coordinated group of independence, and you will change. I've definitely seen change. I've seen changes in how the meetings operate with the 10 independents that are there presently, which some of us, as I said, have very differing views, but we've definitely brought a different perspective to the council.
Many people will say you've been a highly articulate, highly intelligent and highly productive member of Donegal County Council. Whoever comes in to replace you to be co-opted at the next meeting is going to have a hard job to follow, but you are going to be a loss.
I suppose what you haven't met yet is the person that will be co-opted into my place, and I'm more than confident that it will not be a loss. You know, I think you'll see a new vigour, somebody that brings probably something slightly different to the table. I think he's a really intelligent guy. I've watched him work in the community. I've watched him drive projects through to completion, like bringing the All-Ireland Rowing Championships to Donegal. I've seen his ability to access funding. I've seen his ability to collaborate with other groups. I think he'll bring something really, really good and really new to Donegal County Council and to the local area. I think our local area where we live and across the municipal district.
Four men have been charged in connection with plotting to raid businesses in Donegal. Gardaí apprehended the men believed to be non-nationals on the outskirts of Donegal town late on Sunday night after noticing their vehicle acting suspiciously in the area. Equipment and other material found inside the car led Gardaí to believe that two commercial premises in West Donegal were the planned targets. The group have been remanded in custody and are due to appear in court again next week. Donegal Crime Prevention Officer is Sergeant Paul Wallace.
We've had eight, in the last year, attacks on commercial premises in rural areas, isolated areas, and obviously these people were intent on doing the same either last night or the night before. due to good police work by the guards in Donegal Town, they just thought there was something out of the norm with this car, or they weren't happy with it, decided to stop it. And when they stopped it, the car contained four individuals, a lot of equipment that you would use in these break-ins, clothing, gloves, radios, that sort of thing. So it was very clear what they were up to. Thankfully, there's legislation there to deal with that, and they were able to arrest them and charge them in Carrick and Shannon court yesterday. So they're remanded back to court next week. Now, we do know that two of those individuals have been involved in this type of crime before and have been charged in other parts of the country. So they're obviously professional in what they do in thieving or criminality.
Is there any indication as to if this particular gang were involved in commercial premises being robbed in Donegal?
Well, that's a good question, but that's a matter for the investigation and the people. You know, it's an operational matter as such, so I can't comment on that. But it was a lucky break, and it was a lucky break for the communities as well, because there was two specific premises identified in West Donegal, which is of concern to us, but also of concern to the people that own and manage them. And
the country's nurses and midwives will strike for 24 hours on Wednesday, January the 30th. 40,000 members of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation will undertake the action after members voted in favour of strike action by 95%. If their dispute with the government goes unresolved, there will be a further 24-hour stoppages on February the 5th, 7th, 12th, 13th and 14th. The strikes centre on low wages as well as recruitment and retention problems. The government has ruled out granting the 12% pay rise sought by nurses and says there would be knock-on claims across the public sector. General Secretary of the INMO, Phil Nihay, says only emergency cover will be provided on strike days.
I have to advise, nurses and midwives are saying to us very clearly, this is a real strike. This is the withdrawal of labour. And contingency planning will be focusing on the minimum. We are giving 3 weeks' notice, and that expires. And on the 30th of January, we will then be withdrawing our labour.
The Health Minister says he doesn't believe that industrial action is warranted and could be avoided. In a statement, Simon Harris added that there is a clear need for engagement and it's essential that the time is used by all sides to find a resolution to the dispute. Health Sector Management will invite the INMO to meet with them next week. Meanwhile, Letterkenny University Hospital was the second most overcrowded hospital again today, with 43 people awaiting admission there this morning. 11 people were on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 32 were waiting on wards. SEALTA has issued a statement on behalf of the hospital and says the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is very busy today, and they have apologised for the distress and inconvenience caused to patients or their relatives who are experiencing long wait times. Two Donegal men face murder charges as they are expected to appear in court in Australia tomorrow. 24-year-old Christopher McLaughlin from Mallin and 21-year-old Nathan Kelly from Glengard were previously charged with reckless grievous bodily harm in company and affray after emergency services found a 66-year-old man injured on the side of the road at Summerhill in Sydney on December the 29th. The charges were upgraded after the man died in hospital yesterday. Ben McClelland is Chief of Staff on the Daily Telegraph newspaper in Sydney. Speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier today, he said it could take up to 2 years before the case progresses through the Australian court system.
If they do decide to fight the charges, then the process can take anywhere between 18 months to 2 years to go to a full trial in the Supreme Court. Or if they take the option of not fighting the charges, then the process could be over in a couple of months. But in Sydney or New South Wales, you start off in a local court. Any crime that carries more than a 2 year sentence has to go to a higher court. So eventually this case, given that it's a murder case, will have to go to the Supreme Court, and they could face a full jury trial. So we've actually got a story in the Telegraph where I've spoken to the family of the victim who said they believed he might have been sleeping in his car on the night of the attack. We don't know a lot of the circumstances around what happened and what sparked this alleged attack. The victim's son has said that the family of the two Irish nationals has contacted them, and he is quoted as saying that the families of the two boys, they'll be going through a lot of hardship as well, given they're just in their 20s.
The Taoiseach says the government is happy to give reassurances to UK politicians over the Brexit withdrawal agreement, but the time for wishful thinking is over. Simon Coveney says these are fateful days and weeks as British MPs are due to vote on the EU draft deal next Tuesday ahead of the March the 29th Brexit deadline. He met the German Foreign Minister earlier, who is pledging full solidarity with Ireland, and says a hard border dividing the island is unacceptable. Simon Coveney says there isn't an alternative deal, but he can provide clarity.
We want to continue to advocate for that deal. We want to provide, where possible, the reassurance and the clarifications that may be needed in Westminster to get this deal ratified. Because of the uncertainty around the ratification of that deal, we have to plan for the challenges of a no-deal Brexit, which are and will be considerable.
Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has challenged the government to immediately address the waiting times for first appointments with the Child and Adolescents Mental Health Service. Recent figures show it can take up to 15 months for initial medical assessment, with over 240 children across the region awaiting to access the service. 8 of them have been waiting over a year. Deputy Doherty says it's completely unacceptable.
What we find from these figures, Catherine, is that there are 240 of our children who are waiting on a list month on end. We have people waiting up to a year and a half for that first meeting to have that assessment of their needs, and this is just simply disgraceful. And I know many of these parents, I know some of these children, and I know the concern, the anxiety that the whole family goes through, particularly when children are entering into their teenage years, and the concern and stress that puts on the family that something grim may happen to that child, or that that child is not meeting its full potential in terms of its development milestones. And this is time that you simply cannot make up.
And while these figures are very shocking indeed, they are in sharp contrast to areas such as Dublin, where the waiting list seems to be a lot less.
Yeah, it's absolutely scandalous, and it shows again how this is, you know, a result of kind of a postcode healthcare. It comes as no surprise to us in Donegal that we again, you know, are top of the league in terms of the statistics of shame. And in this case, again, we've done it. You know, if you come from Donegal, if your child has got serious mental health issues, then you are more likely to wait on the waiting list. You are less likely to receive the healthcare that your child needs.
And responding, Minister Joe McHugh said that it is an important issue.
This is an important issue. We've plenty of opportunities at cabinet level to discuss the challenges, and certainly this issue that presents itself is something that I'll be taking seriously, and I'll be talking directly with the Minister in that regard.
Is it something, do you believe, the government is taking seriously enough? Because we've had this issue on the table now for quite some time, particularly when it comes to the mental health of adolescents and teens. It can be a very sensitive and difficult time. Vital that we get these interventions and these services available to them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, look, the government does take it seriously. This is an issue which I take very seriously within my own department as well, and with that in mind and with the government's approach, I know there is always demand-led issues, but this is about prioritisation. There is funding in this year's budget to enhance those services, and where there are blockages, it's up to people to get together and ensure and to identify solutions to these problems.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for 2019 with a massive winter sale in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 16 minutes past five, and time to lead a sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're starting with golf, and Padraig Harrington says he will take the lessons of his three terms as a vice-captain into his Ryder Cup captaincy at Whistling Straits next year. The three-time major winner has been confirmed as Thomas Bjorn's successor as European captain. Harrington is just the third Irish Ryder Cup captain and says his appointment is equally thrilling and daunting.
I've actually learned a lot more as vice captain than you do as player. It's amazing the difference. As a player, you're very one dimensional about doing your thing and getting on with performing. As a vice captain, you definitely see a lot more. And yeah, it is daunting because you want to do a good job. You want to add to the Ryder Cup. And as I said, Thomas has left it in a very strong place. He did a great job. And all the captains I've played under or was vice captain, I've learned from every one of them.
Moving on to soccer, in Republic of Ireland, women's national team head coach Colin Bell has named a 20-player squad for the upcoming international friendly against Belgium on Sunday the 20th of January in Murcia in Spain. Donegal girls Tyler Toland and Amber Barrett are named in the group. It'll be Toland's first game since suffering a knee injury against Northern Ireland last August. And the Republic of Ireland under 16 head coach Paul Ozam has selected an 18-man squad for their upcoming international friendlies against Germany and Australia. Fan Harps Finan Coyle has been named as one of six defenders. The squad travelled to Spain this week to play Germany in La Manga on January the 12th before returning to Dublin to face Australia in the FAI National Training Centre on January the 19th. 14 players in Ozam's squad are based in the SSE Electricity League. And cross-channel former Republic of Ireland international Rory Delap, he's been placed in temporary charge at Stoke City. Delap, who has strong family connections in Letterkenny, is one of three coaches taken over first-team affairs following the sacking of Gary Rowett. The Potters have won just 8 of their 26 league fixtures since Rowett left Derby to take charge 8 months ago. Delap, who is renowned for his long throw ability, made a senior international debut against the Czech Republic in 1998. He retired from football at the end of 2013. Another news cross-channel, Bayern Munich are close to making Callum Hudson-Odoi their third most expensive signing of all time. The Bundesliga giants have made a fourth bid to Chelsea for their youngster, believed to match the Blues' asking price of £35 million. The 18-year-old winger is believed to be open to the move, but Chelsea appear willing to let him go only if they can keep him until the end of the current season. Meanwhile, Chelsea, they're in EFL Cup semi-final action tonight. They play the first leg of their tie with Spurs at Wembley. Chelsea have issued a stern warning to their supporters over their behaviour following recent incidents of anti-Semitic chants. Kick-off tonight is at 8 o'clock. In some other transfer news, Stefano Okaka's move from Watford to Italian side Udinese. The striker has made just three appearances for the Premier League club this season. Okaka will go on loan until the end of the season. And Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola, he hopes his squad won't be left short by the sale of Brahim Diaz to Real Madrid. The Spanish youth player turned down the option of a new contract before being sold to the La Liga side in a deal that could be worth £22 million. In boxing, the Ulster Elite Boxing Championships get underway tonight at the Dockers Club in Belfast. There's three bouts with local interest taking place this evening. Brett McGinty of Oakleaf Boxing Club, he'll box in the 75kg semi-final. In the girls 48kg, Donna Barr of Ellie's Golden Gloves fights. And former Letterkenny Boxing Club man Stephen McMonigal, he fights in the 91kg category. Caroline Connolly of the Moore and Golden Gloves, she received a walkover in the 80kg category. Finally, for this evening in rugby, Ulster have added Robert Balakun to their Heineken Champions Cup squad ahead of Saturday's Pool 4 meeting with Racing at Kingspan Stadium. He replaces Henry Speight, whose short-term contract expired at the turn of the year. Meanwhile, prop Kyle McCall is to see a surgeon after suffering a significant hamstring injury in last weekend's Pro 14 loss to Leinster. And a further blow to the province, young winger Angus Kerhonen suffered a hamstring injury in the RDS hammering and is out for a month. Elsewhere, Jack Carty has signed a new 2-year deal with Connacht. The out half's new deal will keep him at the sports ground until the summer of 2021. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the development of a trail around the Great Pollard Arch in Fannet has been included in a new funding package for outdoor recreation infrastructure. Nationally, 78 projects will share €11 million in funding, with €334,000 sanctioned for three projects in Donegal. The Fannet project received just over €132,000. The continuation of the Letterkenny to Burtonport Greenway received just over €177,000. While the continuation of the Glendies Altair Trail received just over €30,000. Minister Joe McHugh says after the controversy over access to the Pollard site, this shows the importance of consultation.
With any issue, communication and consultation is key, and I know local councillors and officials from Donegal County Council have been very very proactive in relation to that particular project. And I'd be hoping now that this investment will see a project being realised in that area, which will allow people to enjoy the recreational amenity that it is. So hopefully this will be a positive step forward.
And in further funding news, a community hub is to be developed in the waterside area of Derry, led by Derry City and Strabane District Council. €8 million worth of funding is being provided under the EU's Peace Four programme to the Waterside Shared Village project. It will include a community and sports hall with offices and meeting rooms. Outside the building, it's proposed to develop a 3G pitch, a grass pitch, a cricket training area and tennis courts. And finally, the Irish Greyhound Board has today announced the appointment of Indicon Economic Consultants to undertake a comprehensive strategic review into the future needs of its 16 licensed stadia, including Lifford. The review, announced in September last, is part of the IGB Strategic Plan 2018 to 2022 and will provide an assessment of stadium infrastructure and financial sustainability, along with detailed recommendations. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The report, to be published later this year by Indicon Economic Consultants, will be a key component of the Irish Greyhound Board's strategic plan up to 2022. The study will include an assessment of the infrastructure, services and facilities at all 16 licensed Greyhound stadia in Ireland. Detailed financial assessments will also be carried out, with the future sustainability of each individual track being reviewed. Once those findings have been assessed, the IGB says recommendations regarding the appropriate industry footprint for the future will be made, including detailed recommendations pertaining to each individual stadium. An analysis of racing schedules for each Greyhound stadium will also be carried out, along with an assessment of any impact arising from availability of breeders or trainers within the catchment area.
Weather now. Tonight will be dry in most areas with clear spells. Lowest temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees with some frost in places. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, as part of an ongoing investigation into the disappearance of 46-year-old Strabane woman Deirdre O'Flaherty almost a decade ago, Gardaí have commenced a land search and excavation in the Milford area. Gardaí say they have received specific information regarding the possible location of human remains. John Campbell has resigned from Donegal County Council. Seamus Maguire from Donegal Town is set to be co-opted onto the council to replace Mr Campbell. Four men have been charged in connection with plotting to raid businesses in Donegal. Gardaí apprehended the men, believed to be non-nationals, on the outskirts of Donegal Town late on Sunday night after noticing their vehicle acting suspiciously in the area. And two Donegal men face murder charges, as they are expected to appear in court in Australia tomorrow. 24-year-old Christopher McLaughlin from Mallin and 21-year-old Nathan Kelly from Glengad were previously charged with reckless grievous bodily harm in company and affray after emergency services found a 66-year-old man injured on the side of the road at Summerhill in Sydney on December the 29th. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 8th of January. The death has occurred of Mary Duffy, 473, The Cottages, Calais. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Calais, with interment afterwards in Newton Cunningham Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the intensive care unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Con MacDade and Sons funeral directors or any family member. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Sean Buchanan, 11, Hazelwood Drive, Lifford, and formerly of Tamnawood, Ballandrate. His remains are reposing at his parents' home at Tamnawood, Ballandrate. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Pieta House, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Willie McLafferty, Derry Real, Falcarra. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral tomorrow morning at 11 in St Finian's Church, Falkara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member, or McLaverty Funeral Director, Gort the Hork. The death has occurred of Margaret O'Neill, née Lyons, formerly of 90 Ardmacool, Stranorlar. Her remains are reposing at her niece Martina Lyons' home at Corrinamone, Ballybuffet. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of John Bernard Logue, 68 Brocker Road, Eglinton. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Tamnahirin. Burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Josephine Deveny, née Peoples, 381 Ardbathan, St Johnson. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there this evening at 6 o'clock to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Lifford Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Bridie Meehan, Main Street, Manor Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Columbus Church, Dromahol, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Joseph's Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, Stranorlar, care of any family member.